Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. I don't talk about supplements on this show very much because I think it's really important that we focus on the big rocks first, like exercise, sleep, mental fitness. But there are a few supplements that can be of huge benefit for you. I've spoken about creatine before, and today I have a conversation with the co-founder of Bubs Naturals, and we're going to talk about collagen. We're going to talk about the benefits of collagen for joint health, skin, hair, and more. Plus, Sean is going to talk about how to stay fit in your 50s and how he stays mentally sharp as a busy entrepreneur. I'm also going to release another episode next week about the backstory behind Bubs and how it's a living tribute to a friend of Sean's that died in Benghazi. It's a story that you're not going to want to miss. Also, if you like what you hear about the benefits of collagen, go grab yourself a canister of their collagen. It is fantastic. We'll have a special link in the show notes with a discount. All right, now to my conversation with Sean Lake, the co-founder of Bubs. So let's lean in and learn from the best. Sean is a, I would say, is an adult athlete, former more pro athlete, but we're still getting after it, right? What do you find the benefits of collagen to be for your own health and performance?
So number one, it starts with just your ability to get after it. And when I say get after it, I mean, can you jump out of bed without pain, right? Real simple baseline. 53 years old here, so that's a great benchmark. Can you go into your training modalities, whatever it is, and handle what's being thrown at you? So I like a lot of cross training, CrossFit. I like doing a lot of endurance work, and I want to be able to lace up my running shoes, head out the door, and be pain-free and maintain a mile average or a level of intensity. I want to be able to do that on my Peloton. I want to be able to do that in the CrossFit gym. I want to pick up a 70-pound kettlebell and do whatever the workout is prescribed or those things. I want to go snowboarding and fly to the mountains and strap on a board and ride down the hill and feel like I've been doing it all year long, even if it's day two. And those measurements overall, I think, are greatly enhanced, or I should say my ability to do them are greatly enhanced by supplementing with good proteins. And collagen peptides as an incomplete protein is number one on that list.
How did you stumble into collagen?
My wife. So my wife is 14 years younger than I am. And after we had our first baby, she, in like 2017, she found a jar of collagen peptides. She read about it on some health blog. And she said, "Hun, you're not getting any younger and I need to preserve you in your old age. And your knees sound like crinkled up newspaper when you're walking up a flight of stairs. So I want you to take this stuff." And I mean, I thought it was a joke. I looked at collagen and I said, "Wait, collagen? Isn't that, that's the stuff that porn stars inject in their lips. Like, is this real?"
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And she laughed at me and she said, "Just take it." And I said, "Well, how do I take this stuff?" And she said, "Well, it's heat tolerant, according to this article. So put it in your coffee." So I did. And I put it in my coffee and it dissolved in and I mixed it up. And then 2 weeks goes by and I'm just doing this thing diligently. It's the only thing I changed in my diet. We've been pretty avid, kind of classic Mediterranean diet followers for a decade. So it was the only real data point I put in there. And at right around the 2 week mark, and I think I was taking like 10 grams a day, my fingernails were growing like crazy. I was like, "Oh, yeah, like I'm the Wolverine. Where are the nail clippers?" And another couple of weeks went by and I needed a haircut. And I'm like, "Man, I just got a haircut. This is crazy." But I'm looking at the label on the jar and I'm like, hair, nails, skin. And my skin always felt good, so I didn't really notice that. But the one I really dialed in on was about 2 months in was the benefit that said joint health. And I got out of bed for the first time in years, totally pain-free, blazed about my morning, didn't really notice anything. We were flying cross-country, packed up our son, got all the stuff. And you know, when you've got a young kid, you got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Marched to the airport. Flew cross country, coach, back of the bus, man. We were tucked back there and I'm huddled up. And normally when I would stand up after a flight of 90 minutes to say this one, 5 hours, because we were going to Boston, I just hopped up and grabbed our stuff. And I'm like, "Oh my God, nothing hurts." And my wife's like, "Well, that's nice." I'm like, no, you don't understand. Nothing hurts. And it was like this light bulb just went off in my head. And I'm like, "What is in this stuff? What is collagen?" I had no idea. I'd never done the research. And then I realized, like, "Oh, this is just a bunch of ground up cowhide dipped in some enzyme bath and it lifts up all these amino acids and it's just injecting magical goodness into my knees, which have been sore from decades of snowboarding and mountain biking and CrossFit and all the things, man. And I was hooked. That was it. I've been a steady believer ever since.
Yeah. I mean, the research on collagen is pretty solid. That's one of the things. It's like one of the few supplements like creatine that's got a lot of good research on it. I think we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg with collagen as we start understanding these proteins a bit more. I first learned about collagen because a lot of athletes get tendonitis and some of these RDs were creating these gelatin mixes. And then they were giving this plus a vitamin C dosage to the athletes. And then we would do these long duration isometric protocols to help with tendon remodeling. I'm like, what, gelatin? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then I started digging into it and it is really good. So for me, I mentioned before the call, I ran out of collagen, but I've been taking it like an hour before I work out because of the benefits.
Yeah. So that's a great one. So gelatin was like this super well-kept secret in like the hippie nutrition space and folks were buying their Knox gelatin and just weaving it into their diet if you were in the know. So like aging bodybuilders and then my buddy Glenn, of course, he was down at NSW and a handful of his friends were all like, oh yeah, we all were just chewing gelatin and then only a few knew about the vitamin C enhancement and it's basically like peas and carrots, how well they go together. But when you supplement with collagen and you've got a good vitamin C source in your life, you are amplifying your body's production of collagen. So I guess backing up a step, collagen's the most abundant protein in the human body. And what we do know beyond a doubt is that in our mid-20s, early 20s, we stop producing collagen at the rate that we were when we were teenagers, when we were just on fire. You could do anything you wanted to do. It's somewhere in that 25-year-old range. It just shuts down and then it just gradually depletes more and more. But if you take it exogenously, if you just supplement with it, you're keeping your body triggering its own production of it. So, man, we didn't know this 10 years ago. It was just coming up for air and just starting to gain a little bit of awareness. And now, to your earlier point, those medical studies are starting to catch up.
Yes.
And we're starting to see the data to really back that up.
Yeah, especially if you use it. I was pulling up some papers before we hopped on our call. Actually, yesterday, I was like, I'm going to go back and refresh myself a little bit and found some of the studies on, you know, if you use it with resistance training, it helps with tendon remodeling, helps with tendonitis if you do the right type of protocols, and even skin. And for me, as somebody that's, you know, my 40s now, that's something I really care about. And I think a lot of people, instead of spending all this money on other things, there's really good data on. So for all the non-statistic geeks out there, there's something called a Cohen's D. So instead of like a p-value, we used to be like, oh, a significance of a study was less than 0.05. We're now starting to look at something called an effect size, meaning like, does the thing that you do create a small, medium, or large effect? And there's a moderate effect size with collagen supplementation on skin hydration and elasticity. And there's a small effect size from some meta-analysis on wrinkles, but I'll take a small effect size on that. Moderate effect size is really good. So pretty fast.
You don't look a day over 39, just to be clear.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. The balding really helps, I'm sure. Even though like my son's like,
collagen's not, sorry. See, unfortunately, collagen's probably not your go-to for that. As much as we want those label claims around hair health, it's really only going to preserve the hair that you do have.
I'll have a mad comb over if I wanted to grow it out, but I'm not into that. No, I'm going for my Jason Statham look. So when do you take it? What's your kind of your go-to regimen and how much are you taking?
So I take 20 grams a day and you know I weigh 190 pounds. I think there's interesting data that shows you can drop it to as low as 15 grams. And then when you're recovering or managing any kind of extra inflammation or injury, it scales up 30, 40 grams. Mm-hmm. I'm good friends with Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, and she's the ultimate protein doc, and she'll be the first one. She's always like, take more, just take more. You can't saturate it. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't find I need that. So right. I'm going to stick to my 20, and my 20 feels pretty darn good. So sticking with the 20 grams a day to me has been a great baseline. And in that, I'm noticing the data points that I need every day. Now, I take it first thing in the morning and I drink it with coffee because I love coffee and it's an unflavored heat tolerant protein source. So, hey man, I know my morning routine and I can work it right into that. The only other windows that I will take it will be during pre-exercise. So if I decide I'm going to do a whey protein or a plant-based protein about an hour prior to exercise, I'll throw a little bit on there. And that's only like 10 grams. I don't do that religiously. But what I do 7 days a week is having my coffee. I've read a lot about, hey, taking it before bed, that glycine goes to work and helps with your sleep patterns. But the overall data has been fairly inconclusive on the best time of day.
Yeah.
Other than it seems like the data that says if you do it before training, just lob it in on that window an hour beforehand and you're going to get those extra muscle recovery benefits.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of like, when do you take protein? Well, we're finding like the total protein pool is the most important thing. There is some literature though about clock gene activation and how early morning protein consumption may help with more hypertrophy or increasing muscle mass. Because of this whole new field of chrononutrition, which is really fascinating. But for everybody out there, just take it. And if you really have like a tendonitis issue or you resistance train, that hour before window seems to be pretty ideal. You're a really fit guy. I can just see from your neck up, but you can always judge a lot by like the t-shirt up. And you're doing it. He's doing the
man,
the
I'm not wearing thing. My deep V. I'm blowing it today.
Yeah. You know, remember when those V-necks that went down to the middle of your chest were really cool? Not so cool anymore. But anywho, whatever floats your boat, you're in your 50s. What are you doing? Because you're also a busy entrepreneur. I'm looking behind you and it looks like you've got your sales manifesto on a whiteboard. What are you doing in your 50s to stay fit?
So I'll use the last couple of days as an example because literally it's a kitchen sink of fitness. So backing up, I got into fitness in my mid-30s. I skipped it. When I got done snowboarding for a living, there was no real training in snowboarding. It was all adrenaline sport. No one really had a training routine. I mean, I did a little bit here and there, but I didn't really know what I was doing. There was no real guidance around that. And I was around 35, 36. My best buddy is a Navy SEAL. And I'm kind of flubby. Like I've been working the office job. I've been riding the desk. And he calls me out. Active duty Navy SEAL. Just, you got to do some push-ups, son.
Yeah.
And that launched me on the path. So I started as a road cyclist and I just rode bikes constantly. And then I surfed because I live in Encinitas. I live near the water. And those were two very accessible things. I'm like, oh, this will be like my little biathlon. I'll surf. That's my swimming. And then I'll ride a bike. And he came home from deployment in 2008. I'll never forget this. Came home from Iraq and he's like, I found this website. It's called CrossFit.com. Now, this is in 2008, right? So this is ancient history for CrossFit. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, oh, it's constantly varied movements. We got to do this. And he had this excitement about him that I was like, all right, man, sign me up. What's a kettlebell?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't lift a barbell since high school. I mean, I didn't know anything about form or technique. I didn't know what a deadlift was. I'd never heard of a snatch or a power clean. So it was like ground zero into this crazy world of measured athletics that was varied. There was always different workouts. Well, now at 53 years old, I've been doing CrossFit for 15 years. I just will cook up these ideas in my head and be like, I want a push-pull matrix. I want to work for 30 hard minutes. I want a 10-minute accessory work cool down and I want a 5-minute warm up. I got 45 minutes, go. And I'll just make something up. So today I've got 60-pound dumbbells in the back. I'm going to do a 2-block farmer carry. I'm going to, as soon as I come back from the farmer carry, I'm going to hop on the exercise bike and do hard resistance for a minute. I'm going to hop off, do a rack of push-ups, and I'm literally going to cycle through that. And I'm just going to do that. And I'm going to do that for 40 minutes. And it will, I'll have just enough rest in between moving from station to station to give me that 10-second pullback before I go again. And my forearms are going to be smashed because of the grip strength stuff. And I'll feel a little bit swole. And tomorrow I'll do a 45-minute Peloton ride just all by itself. And then the next day I'll do whatever's in the class. I'll do like maybe one class a week on CrossFit. But when I'm at home, I've got a rower, I've got a kettlebell, and you can come up with some medieval stuff just on your own. So I don't really prescribe to any one thing, but I always measure, am I dedicating time to lift weights? And whether it's bench, press, pull up, I like GVT, kind of German volume training, because it provides structure and a timeline.
Oh my gosh, GVT, like we're going old school here. Keep
old
going.
Old school. I'm old. What do you expect? But like literally, like there's a classic 10x10 GVT.
Yes. That's
like, you're going to do 10 bench press at 135 and 10 pull-ups, and you're going to do it in this 2-minute block. You only have maybe 30 seconds of rest max, and you flip the cycle, and in 20 minutes, you're smoked. And all you're doing is a push-pull sequence.
Which you're describing is a modern twist on German volume training. In the old periodization of GVT, you'd be doing 10 by 10 on a singular exercise, like squat at an X% RM. And you could totally smoke yourself or get yourself domes by doing that. I mean, props to you. That's a lot of volume.
You end up realizing, like, I just did 100 bench press. No wonder my chest is just ready to just detonate the next day. Enter collagen, because the next day I'll ride the Peloton and have a completely different elicitation of...
So you're waving it. You're doing weights, some type of cardiovascular exercise day on. Do you take any days off during the week?
Yeah. I actually took yesterday off. So yesterday ended up being a full work day. So like the whiteboard behind me, right? Some days you just can't do it. So... today, I'll end up training mid-afternoon, which is my dream. Tomorrow, I'll train between 6 and 7 in the morning. I've got a 6-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son. My 8-year-old son will sleep till 7 a.m. My 6-year-old daughter will climb into bed with me religiously 7 nights a week between midnight and 4 a.m. and cuddle in. And then every morning at 6, when I try to get out of bed, she goes, "Daddy, no." And then I'm locked in. So I'm like, it's the hardest thing to break free and then get your training done in the morning. But once it's done, man, it's done. And I'm not out setting any records. I'm just trying to maintain a good overall engine. And so for me, it's like, if I can get an hour block of work in 5 days a week, I'm a happy guy. If it drifts to 4, I'm probably a miserable person to be around. And you could ask my wife that.
You seem to have a lot of energy. As somebody that's building a company, got 2 young kids, outside of the physical training, what are you doing for your mental fitness?
You know, it's interesting. I meditate every morning, and that didn't come to me naturally. I never like hit 40 and said, I'm going to meditate and get all zen. I started talking with a professional business coach in 2016. I've been working with him. His name's Dr. Doug Brackman. And Dr. Brackman basically just kind of called me out. He's like, dude, you're a maniac. You need time to calm down and get your head straight. And he meant maniac in that I would take too much ownership of things and like feel like everything was a personal affront to me if it didn't go the right way. And like, there's a lot of voices in your head that we listen to. And there's a lot of narratives that we're learning more about in the advancement of mental health becoming a very public topic. And man, I was as guilty of that as the next guy. So when we were, before we launched Bubs, my business partner and I started down the path of just learning about myself. What are these voices in my head? Why do I have negative self-talk? Where does it come from? How self-destructive can that be? And I just started getting curious. And he helped me get curious, because before that, man, I was stoic. I was like, I'm not answering that question. My dad never talked about feelings. I'm not doing that. And the more I got into it, I was like, hey, there's something to be learned here. There's something I can apply in my life. And now, 7, 8 years on, I hit the pillow every morning, first thing. I've got a little morning ritual that kind of helps me set up for the day. And I like psychotic little self-challenges. Like, I have an ice bath. It was like one of my little binge purchases. I'm going to go sit in that thing for 3 minutes and in a brisk little 40, 45 degree mark somewhere in there. And I'm going to close out my thoughts and not jump out of this thing because everything in my head says to. Mm. And those little discipline moments just really help you set the tone for the day.
I like that. Because I think that the physical part, it's easy to go kind of pound yourself a little bit. It's the mental disciplines. They're a little bit harder because you have to get introspective and you have to deal with what's going on inside your head. And I found personally them to be very beneficial. I think in the past few years, people are more open to this idea of mental health. I like to think about it as mental fitness. It's a better viewpoint for me. It gives me something to train, and I like to train. But
that's a really good way of putting it. It is mental fitness. Like, it's a tool. It's a muscle. You have to exercise it and you have to use it or it will atrophy. And arguably, I got a late start. It had atrophied. Hopefully, I've gained a little bit of mass around it, but it's a constant process. So there's no finish line.
What do you find have been the benefits of you doing this and being committed to it?
So I'll do maybe 10 minutes in the morning. And the whole goal, I do a very active meditation called Zazen. And the idea of it is my eyes are open. I'm focusing on a physical object. Usually it's outdoors because I've got a great window I can look out, or in my kneeling position, I can look about 5 feet down the bridge of my nose. And what I'm trying to do is wipe out anything that's going on in the world, all the white noise. Like, you're clearing the board behind you. right? Like you're wiping that thing clean. So it's inevitable that a thought is going to pop into your head during that time. Can you move that thought out and just clear that space? And if you can do that, maybe you get 30 seconds, maybe a minute out of the 10 minutes that you're sitting on the pillow where you truly are just in that, call it a flow state. And that is a practice flow state. Like this morning, I made it 8 minutes and I had Lucy bouncing all over me. And I was like, okay, it wasn't in the cards today. So I accept that. But I know in the middle of that, I got my 30-second window that was just clean slate. So what does that help me do is as I leave that situation, I encounter negative stimulus. We all do all day long. Bad shit happens. And it could be minor. The kids are fighting. It could be I got into a disagreement with my CFO or someone didn't understand a direction that I gave them, or I'm frustrated with some menial task that I have to do that drives me crazy. Do I let it drive me crazy? This is kind of where the meditation comes in and kicks in, is it allows you to give pause and create a little distance between you and the problem or you and the negative stimulus and say, hey, I can manage this. What's the best way to manage this? So it's kind of like I'm instilling a little bit of curiosity to face the problem. Like instead of just immediate resistance, I get curious. Why am I resisting this? Do I have a solution to this? And you realize, it takes a little bit of practice, that you do. And then you go into the solution. Like I literally had to do a state of Nevada tax filing from an online HR service called Gusto that got gummed up somewhere and I had to unwind it. And I am not the guy to be stuck in a portal doing technical, you know, work like that. It took me 20 minutes. I got it done. Now, it could have taken someone else 5 minutes, but they weren't here. So I did it. And it is painful. But hey, man, get it done. And so meditation helps you approach those things.
Well, that's really awesome. For me, it's helped me catch myself in moments where I'm kind of chasing the rabbit and it's unproductive. I can be a ruminator. And I'll just start chewing on a thought for a very long period of time. And as I've learned to be more aware of where my mind is at, then I can harness my attention and then go, okay, I'm going to shift it over here. But it only comes through practice and through deliberate engagement and things like this. Thanks again for listening to the Blueprint Podcast. And if you love what you heard about collagen, make sure you grab yourself a canister of Bubs Collagen. It is phenomenal. My wife and I both use it. We put it in our coffee every morning. Also, their apple cider gummies are fantastic. Until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.